Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here again with y'all this fine morning out there. All y'all that's tuned in and Radio Land, another day the Lord has made. He said, let's rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you're rejoicing out there. This is Brother Tommy Ledford with my wife, Carol, this morning. Just glad to be here. Glad to be able to share God's word with you. You know, we've been teaching here a little on and off here about, you know, about salvation, about the creation, about salvation. You know, about why folks really need salvation, amen, and we've had some breaks in between there because we've been out of town and things, and they had some pre-recorded things. But anyway, we wanted to get on another subject, and I do appreciate all those that tune in everywhere. We have some from time to time tune in from, you know, Tallahassee and out in Alabama and, you know, hopefully the Florida State Prison and they're around. We appreciate you. Glad you have. But I want to read a scripture that a lot of folks know, and it's been misquoted so much. They might quote it, but they the understanding of it is, you know, they made it where it kind of applies to everybody, and this scripture doesn't apply to everybody. It's the third chapter of Romans, which to begin with, it's talking about those that are unbelieving. And it said, you know, what if some, or let me just start at the first. It says, what advantage, or would you mind reading this for me? Just go ahead and read, start with the first verse.
What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness... commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For if we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
That's good. You know, which a lot of folks quote is, you know, there's none good, knoweth not one. And first of all, we start talking about, it sounded like, you know, Paul was getting hit with all these other ones, especially the unbelieving and the uncircumcised in heart and, you know, getting hit with these things. And you know, the Bible tells us our righteousness is filthy rags.
Right.
Excuse me there. I had something in the pipe there. But anyway, still got it. Hope it comes out. Anyway, that's where you start talking about. But if you read these things about what is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They're open, their throats are open, stuff like that. All, you know, all those things go on. And those are definitely a totally opposite than the characteristics of a righteous person.
That's right.
Or a Christian person, a saint of God. Amen. They're going to be doing exactly the opposite of that. We don't need to take the scripture and turn it to our own understanding.
Or take it out of context.
Right. We need to acknowledge God and his ways. And, you know, he said he would direct our paths. Because, you know, one of the biggest things out there going is, oh, we're all sinners and there ain't nothing we can do about it. Yes, there is.
That's right.
Because Jesus made that way. That there is. He brought victory unto us. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God,
the Bible says, God forbid.
That's right.
God forbid that. He brought victory in reach of us. You know, we don't have to go and make those sacrifices anymore and have the remembrance of sin anymore. You know, Jesus was that sacrifice once and for all. He tasted death for every man. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world for us. And for us that we can live a righteous and a holy and a clean life. Amen. That we can do good and that we can seek after God.
Yes.
And we fear him. You know, that's the beginning, you know, of knowledge is the fear of God.
That's right.
Amen's beginning of knowledge. And we don't need to let anybody just tell us this word and tell us what it means, because their understanding may be unprofitable, may be unfruitful themselves. And, you know, people that's not doing just right, they're not going to, you know, tell other people, oh, yeah, it's right, and showing themselves wrong.
Right.
You know, the Bible is written. And, you know, the way the Lord intended to, he, you know, they had holy men of God moved by the Holy Ghost, which was written this thing. And I believe the Lord put everything in it that he wanted put in it and how he wanted put in it. We don't need to change it. And, you know, in the world today, it's kind of like the our forefathers, you know, all the
Constitution,
yeah. the you know, all those things they want to change, or they want to say, well, they really meant this, or they want to amend that. God, we ain't got no right to amend or change God's word. The Bible tells us if we change, if we take, you know, well, if the Bible said if we take away that our part of the Holy City and Lamb Book of Life will be taken away, and if we add to the plagues of this book, would be added unto us. You know, the Bible tells us not to, if somebody bring us something other than this word, bid them not in your house nor Godspeed, or you're a partaker of their evil deeds. So we need to get a hold of the word, stay a hold of the word, and make sure. You know, the Bible tells us many times over is let no man deceive us, that we've got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling to prove out what is good. And we've got to do that through prayer. We've got to do it through reading and prayer and seeking God. Amen.
Right.
Because there's a world full of false prophets out there, and there's a world full of false teachers out there. The Word of God tells us so. But we can't take this and use it for a cloak to sin, because that's not, he didn't die in vain. He died to bring us victory.
Yeah, and there are a lot of sincere people in the world that they're very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong sometimes.
Right.
And it waters down the blood in a lot of ways. When we make it okay to transgress the word of God, we water down his blood and make it like it has no effect, or like it doesn't bring victory, when in fact one drop of his blood covers a multitude of sins. I mean, all we have to do is apply that blood to our life, and we have access to the greatest victory there ever was. I mean, it's just like an alcoholic that is in recovery. You know, if you go to a 12-step program or an AA meeting, you stand up and say, "Hi, my name is Carol and I'm an alcoholic." Well, when you become a Christian and you're washed in His blood, I don't stand up and say, "Hi, my name is Carol and I'm a sinner." No, that's not my testimony. My testimony is, "Hi, my name is Carol and I used to be a sinner. I used to be this and that and all those things that are listed in the Bible, and I used to be eaten up with unforgiveness, you know, and a lack of peace and all this turmoil in my life, not to mention the sin, just all of the chaos in my life. But not anymore, because now that the blood of Jesus is applied, there's peace in my life, there's joy in my life, and I can live every hour, every day, every week without sinning. Now, the Bible says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. It doesn't say when you sin. It says if you sin. So the plan was, if it happens, then you can go to your advocate, which is Jesus Christ. And He will forgive you of those sins. But not, "Hey, when this happens," like it's definitely going to happen. No. The blood of Jesus allows us to live a victorious life over sin. That was the plan.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, like she says, not when, it was if you sin. He didn't come that we can continue in sin.
No.
And, you know, the Bible said where sin, where sin was, you know. Where sin abounded, the grace of God is much more abound. So that's, you know, I know I'm not a, you know, English major or nothing, but I know that that's past tense.
Right.
You know, that's where it was, where it once was, and where it abided, now the grace of God is much more. So
yes.
That's where it was. The house, you know, the Bible talks about the house being swept and garnished, and we've got to clean up that house. I don't know of any woman. I might know somebody. I just ain't thinking about them right now. But most any woman that I know of that's going to move into a new house, a different house or whatever, is going to go in that house and they're going to clean it. They're going to get the cobwebs out. They're going to get everything out before they put a stitch of anything in there.
Right.
And you know, that's what we've got to do, is we got to, you know, the Bible tells us in many places about cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting in the holiness and the fear of God. Amen. We there's things we got to do. There's a change that we've got to make. You know, there's many people make confessions.
Right.
Or you know, they make a profession, but you got to have godly sorrow, repentance at work to salvation. And when you have that, you're not just having a confession. When you truly repent, you're changing. You're making a turn. You're changing from what you were, and that you're pressing on towards something different.
Yeah.
You have done made a U-turn, and you're going the right way instead of going away from God. You're drawing nigh unto God. Amen. And fear is the beginning of that knowledge. And He said not to fear the one that can destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. You know, whose fault is it going to be? It's kind of like I was just talking to my son, and he lost his phone thing, and he started to blame it on somebody else, and I'm like, you know, you lost the phone. He said, but you know, if his boss wouldn't have sent him out there before daylight, he wouldn't have lost it. I said, well, it's not your boss's fault, and it's not God's fault, but it was dark.
Right.
It was your fault. We've got to face up to it, and we got to know, because He did give us the victory. Jesus didn't die in vain for me. He came to bring us the victory. He walked the life. He went through the persecutions. He went through the natural mutilation.
Right.
And all that to bring us under victory, where before people didn't have that victory to go through that. And
right.
He brought it unto us that we don't have to sin. And I hear people talking about, oh, well, it's the flesh. You know, it's the soul that sinneth.
Yeah.
And it's the flesh can't do nothing unless the soul tells it to do something.
The Bible tells us to crucify our flesh.
Yes.
Now we're supposed
to mortify the deeds of our body.
Yeah, we're supposed to live in this world, but not be of
the world. That's right.
And he said, come out from among them and be ye separate,
saith the Lord.
And touch not the unclean thing.
That's right.
And I will receive you.
I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters.
So, I mean, if we claim Christianity and we claim to be a Christian and we live just like the world, what are we coming out of? We can't be just like the unsaved person, because the unsaved person, I've heard people say, they're just like me. Why would I want to, what's the big deal? You know, they claim to be a Christian, but they do all the things I do, and I'm not a Christian. I know I'm not. So do you understand what I'm saying? If we don't come out of anything, why would the world want what we have? If we don't have any joy, if we don't have any peace, if we don't have anything that we're looking to, if we're not looking for that city whose builder and maker is God, if we're not, you know, who was it that said, if I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable.
Yeah,
Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd be of all men most miserable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Christians, people, shouldn't be that way. Now,
no.
I know some that claim to be Christians that are that way, and I have to think, do you know the Lord like the one that I know? Because the one that I know changed my life.
Amen.
And I'm not saying I go around with a goofy smile all the time, but there's a joy that this world can't give you.
And a peace.
And this world and all that happens in it can't take it away. If Joe Biden is president till Jesus comes, it can't take your joy. You know, if you lose your job and you're living in the woods in a tent until Jesus comes, it won't take your joy if he is the source of your joy.
Right, because the Bible says greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And I believe people is going more, for titles. You know, people come to, they may come to a preacher or whatever and say, oh, I accept Jesus as my personal savior, this, that, and the other. But that's, and then they want to call themselves born again or a Christian and this, that, and the other. But
oh,
they really
so
haven't
much
got
more.
They haven't got what they need. And it's kind of like I think about, you know, somebody, they want to live by that name, but they're not living up to it. And I think about how people want to sound so much glorious that they do this. And, you know, attending church is a thing you ought to do.
Oh, definitely.
Paying your tithes is definitely something that's commanded. You know, those things, yeah, you ought to do those, but that ain't all there is.
No.
And I mean, that's just a little part of us being, you know, of us being faithful or us being obedient. But I think about how that they go up there and they say this, and then all of a sudden they're a Christian. It's kind of like a garbage man, you know, saying that he's a waste specialist. No, he's a garbage man. He rides on the back of a truck. You know, and you have another one that says, you know, I'm a auto transportation specialist. He's a tow truck driver.
Right.
I mean, you know, all the titles don't mean nothing if you ain't got it.
No.
I mean, you got to have it. People, you hardly hear anybody talk about saints anymore because they know they ain't no saint. They've kind of watered down the word Christian, but a Christian is a Christ-like person.
Right.
And if you're Christ-like and you've got the mind of Christ, you put the mind of Christ on, you know, you don't think the same way. You don't do the same things. You don't feel the same way. You're a different person.
And living like that is living so much below what the Lord has for us. It's like going to Ruth Chris and sitting at the table with your friend. And your friend is eating the best steak available and eating that bread that's crunchy on the outside and soft on the inside, and the butter and the juice and you know, all that's there, and eating the creme brulee. And all you're eating is when the wait staff comes by and they pick up the crumbs with the crumb catcher, you're eating what's in the crumb catcher. You're sitting at the table You have access to all the good things, but you're choosing what's in the crumb catcher because you don't even know that you're missing all the good stuff. Don't do that. All the good stuff is available if you make yourself available.
Look, don't settle for less. No. And do not take everything for the gospel. Search it out for yourself. Know it for yourself. I've heard so many times over the years, over and over, people would quote this, what they thought was scripture. It said, spare the rod and spoil the child. The Bible does not say that.
No, it doesn't.
It says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son.
That's right.
Totally different. He said, thou shalt beat him with a rod, not that you should kill him, but deliver his soul from hell. Amen.
So if you love your child, you'll discipline.
Yeah. And it's the same way with the Lord. I mean, he'll discipline us if we want to be a son or a daughter. Amen. He'll discipline us. And sometimes it doesn't seem to be joyous, but it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing to have someone that loves you and cares for you. And he showed it. He showed it when God gave his only begotten son and when Jesus gave himself for us. I mean, there's no greater love that could have been shown or done. And the things that he went through, he was tempted in all points yet without sin. Bible says even if all the things that Jesus done was written, even the world couldn't contain the books.
That's right.
We're not talking about a library. We're not talking about, a shopping mall. We're talking about the world could not contain the books.
That's right.
But he gave us what we needed. This is far beyond. I mean, it gives us everything we need. There's all the answers to life in it if people will just really want to search it out. But they want to hunt something else. They want to hunt something less. It's kind of like the King James Version. That's the closest thing that we have to the original transcripts that is in the English language. And folks, they just want to go with this one and that one and the other one because it reads easier, it reads better. But it changes so much. Don't go for less.
No.
Go for the best. Amen.
And the thing is, it's not so much that we say, no, you can't sin. No, you can't sin, even though that's true. The point is, why do you want to do something that would separate you from the one who loves you so much that your mind can't even grasp the depth of his love? Why do you want to be separated from someone who cares so much for you that he would give himself for you? Why do you want to be separated from the Lord? Why?
I just sometimes it seems like it's not understandable, but when we were lost, we just didn't understand that.
Right.
We didn't understand his love. We didn't understand
right.
forgiveness. We didn't understand the sacrifice
right.
that he made. And that's why, we're trying to bring this to light
yes.
today.
Because
if you truly love somebody, you ain't going to turn and do things that's going to hurt them.
No.
And, the Bible tells us, if we turn again and do sin, we crucify him afresh. We don't. I tell you what, I don't want to crucify nobody, and especially my Lord Jesus. Amen. The thing is about sin. The Bible says, sin has a joy for a season.
Sure.
There's pleasure for a season.
Sure, there is.
And you know what? When I was in the world, I enjoyed sin, but there's always an end to it. I had a taste for that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? When I came out from that, amen, I don't have any withdrawals from the world.
Because your desires change. Your whole desire changes. Everything changes. Everything. Everything.
Well, it's kind of like you said about the alcoholic. When you go into them AA meetings, they said, my name's George, I'm alcoholic, this, that, and the other, and they ain't drinking 10 years or whatever.
Right.
Look, when you get saved, you're no longer a sinner. You don't say, hey, I'm George, I'm a sinner.
No.
I hear these people, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. If you got saved by grace, you were a sinner
right.
because he is no sinner. And if he's in you, he's no sinner.
What does Christian mean? You just said it.
Christ-like.
So if we are becoming like Christ, he didn't sin.
Right. You'll be sinless.
And you will sin less and less and less and less.
Yeah, right, yeah. But you'll be sinless. I mean, before the Father, you're not going to do all the things, you know, right before people. And it's not going to mean you ain't going to stumble when you walk and all those kind of things. That's not what he's talking about. Sin. But we can have a perfect heart before God, and we don't have to. You know, we might live in the flesh, but we don't have to live after the flesh.
That's right.
Amen. We all live in fleshly temples, but we don't have to live after the fleshly things.
That's
Amen.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us what's all in the world is the pride of life,
the lust of the eyes,
and the pride of life. And those cover all the sins in the world. Just think about it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And, you know, that's why we got people that look the way they do. That's why we got people, why there is just so many businesses out there that's just making money off of changing people.
Right.
You know, it's pride, and they've got to have this better than that, or somebody's got to show this up or show that up. And, you know, living, you know, as the old saying is, trying to catch up with the Joneses and all that stuff. But if we'll humble ourselves, the Bible said he will exalt us in due time. And that kind of exalting works, amen. But if we exalt ourselves, he had said he'll abase us.
And he gives... He resists the proud.
And give us grace unto the humble.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Here in this world, it's awesome. People's like, oh, yeah, we need to get saved because of, you know, we want to go to heaven and all. And let me tell you something, you're missing out on a piece of heaven now if you play in church, if you're just one of those that made a confession and not really living your life and give your heart into God, that you're living after God, that you're following after God. I'm telling you, you are miserable because you're straddling the fence.
Yes,
you're trying to claim to be a Christian. You get off with somebody else at work or another friend and this, that, and the other and act like the world and do like the world. Look, you can't have no peace like that.
No.
You're trying to walk a fence that you can't straddle.
That's right.
It won't work. You've got to go one way or the other. And the Bible says, choose this day whom you shall serve. And we need to choose that out. Ain't none of us getting younger. The day that you are born, you start dying.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, we only have a certain time here. We don't know what time it is. Once appointed men to die, and after this, the judgment.
And we don't know. We don't know if we're going to make it back to the house. We don't know. We don't know when our time is. So we always have to be ready.
Not when your Lord cometh.
That's right.
You don't know the day nor the hour that he cometh. But you know what? Those that love him, amen, those that are righteous, they're watching and they're prepared, amen, because they rejoice against the day of judgment. They're happy. They're excited, amen, about what the Lord has done.
That's right.
I reckon we've run out of time this week. I'm glad that we've got to be with you this week. I hope you tune in again next week, and we'll have something going on different, I'm sure, but it'll be this scripture, amen. And but y'all just pray and seek God, and may God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.